Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
And I will bless her and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. That is Genesis 17:16. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and our guest today is local single adoptive mom, Rhonda Baker. Welcome to the show, Rhonda.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's an honor to have you on the show. And Rhonda and I know each other pretty well. We attend the same church. But for our listeners to kind of get a glimpse of your story, you're a single mom. You work full time as a legal assistant for a federal judge. And you're also mom to your 3-year-old son, Eli, who was adopted from China. So, Rhonda, let's just start with what led you to pursue adoption initially.
Well, I just got busy with life, and I joined the military. I was there for a while, and then I went to college, and before I knew it, I was getting older and still single and with no children, and I still had a really big heart to be a mother. And so I tried fertility treatments for a little while, and that really didn't pan out. So adoption was my next step. My heart was really to be a mother, and so that was just the next logical step to take.
So then what led you to China to pursue international adoption in China specifically?
Well, I am an older mom, and there are age limits on adoption. So I was getting close to some of those age limits, and a majority of the international adoption guidelines state that you have to be under a certain age or so many years older than the child that you're adopting. So that would mean that I would either have to adopt an older child, or if I wanted a younger child, that I needed to start soon. And the I looked into the U.S. adoption, and in the U.S., especially in New York State, really requires you to go through the foster care system, which I had done when I was younger. I was foster parent for a short period of time, and it really just, it wasn't my calling. And so internationally speaking, when I looked at China, their process for the waiting child list, which is a child with special needs, was a fairly short wait, and it put me within the age range, and just the process just seemed to suit what I was looking for.
So the process, the wait is different if you're, say, wanting to adopt a healthy, young as possible baby girl versus a child with special needs or a baby with special needs or even a boy with special needs. All of those different things affect the weight, correct?
Correct, yeah. And I think for a healthy child with no concerns or disabilities listed is an average between 4 and 8 year wait.
Wow, 4 and 8 years.
Yeah,
wow.
From what I saw, and that was last year was the last time I had looked, so it may even be longer than that at this point, but that's about what the average was when I was looking.
Wow. So what adoption agency did you use?
I chose WACAP, which is the World Association for Children and Parents. I found them just in doing a lot of research. I just was, you know, Googling adoption agencies, and that was actually during the time where I, you know, ended up choosing China as well. But I found a website called Rainbow Kids, which seemed a little wonky at first, but they're really really an advocacy for adoption agencies. They kind of gather all the agencies right now. I think they have about 51 all together in one place, and they help post the waiting child list for the children that have been hanging out in the system the longest. And I found WACAP through there. I called a few, and because I'm single, it kind of eliminated a lot of the options for me, but WACAP was very willing to work with single parents, and I've been very happy with them.
Wonderful. And that's the agency that your son Eli was actually listed through, correct?
Correct. Yeah, he actually didn't even make the list because he was so young.
Wow. And he was, you brought Eli home at 18 months old. So you went to China, you went through the process there. Well, you had to go through a really long process here just to prepare to adopt and the dossier and the home study and all of that. And then you traveled to China to bring Eli home. So what was that experience like? How has the adjustment been, you know, being a first-time mom, being an adoptive mom, adopting internationally? You know, how did the adjustment go for Eli and you?
Really well, I think, but Eli is an exceptional child. So, you know, they have lots of training that you have to do in between 12 and 18 hours, training on international adoption and all of the issues that you could run into with a child that's been in an orphanage and being institutionalized and having a disability and just a sheer number of children in some of these orphanages. And so I've taken all of these classes and a few extras online to prepare for all of these issues that I would have, and he really is just exceptional. He slept through the night right away. He was potty trained by 19 months. The disability that they had listed for him was kind of minor compared to what we ran into, but in part of the training, they said to expect some of that, but even then, it's still been phenomenal. You know, there's a learning curve there because I am a single mom. So there's a lot of things that I question, like, is this normal? Because I have no comparison point.
Right.
But I do tend to rely on a lot of my support system that does have children, you included.
Yes.
But it's been really terrific. Everything that I thought it was going to be and more.
Wow. And you're not just being the proud mom saying that your son is exceptional. He truly is. Anybody who meets Eli is really just taken with him. And he is such an exceptional, precious little guy that just he will wrap you around his little finger. So she's not overstating the truth there. And but you went to China, you spent about a month in China. You got to meet the nanny, the caregiver that he had, and ask questions. What was that like?
That was actually great. I don't think a lot of people get a chance to ask the specific individual that was caring for the child questions. I had the privilege to actually meet the person. I wish I'd had some a little more insight to know how to ask some more specific questions about what to expect. And now that I have Eli, I kind of do. But there were a lot of questions I wish I had asked while I had her with me. That being said, I was able to make a connection with her through WeChat, which is a kind of like a messenger program that they use in China. So I still actually talk to her, and she asks about Eli.
Aww.
And so that has helped a lot.
Wow. So now let's talk a little bit about Eli's diagnosis. Can you share about that with us?
Well, so officially on his record and the report that I got from China said that he had deformity of fingers. And you know, just looking at some of his videos that they had sent, which were terrific. If you can get short videos, I would recommend asking for them. Because it was in the video that I noticed he was having a lot of trouble rolling over, a lot of trouble sitting up, kind of things which he should have been doing at about that age. So it made me question and do a lot of research. And in what I found, I suspected that he had a condition called arthrogryposis, which is a genetic mutation that caused his cells that should have become muscle to not get their instruction, basically. So they became nothing. And so he's lacking various muscle groups in his shoulders and his abdomen in various areas. We're still, as he's growing, kind of discovering some new things that he's lacking, and also being able to develop some things that we didn't know were there. So research videos, if you can get them, I always recommend that. It really did help prepare me for what I actually saw once I had him in my care.
And how have you been able to meet his special needs? What are some of the things that you've been able to do?
So because of the research that I did, I was actually able to reach out to some orthopedic surgeons before I left and provided them the video and the file that we had. And they kind of confirmed that they thought that this was what it was as well. So by the time we had gotten back, I was able to very quickly get him an appointment at the Shriners. And they confirmed his diagnosis, which allowed me to move on sort of to a more specialized orthopedic surgeon at Boston Children's. Who's been absolutely terrific. And really just, it's a lot of physical therapy, a lot of occupational therapy, doing as much as we can to build up every little fiber of muscle that he has.
And he's making progress.
A lot of progress, yeah. At 18 months, he was not sitting on his own, standing, walking, crawling. He was still eating formula and something that they call congee, which is kind of like a soupy rice cereal. And so in July, it will be 2 years. He is walking and running and jumping and climbing stairs by himself. And he does have some limitations with lifting in front, lifting his arms up in front. He can only lift his arms about 30%. And he has no abduction, which is to raise your hands straight out to your side. But he, through the therapist and even just his own ingenuity, has figured out how to adapt and work around so he can pretty much do whatever he wants to do. It just might take him a minute to figure out how.
Yeah, he's a very, very smart boy.
Yes, very clever.
Very clever. He figures it out.
And he's determined, which is, you know, I think just maybe a trait that he developed being in the orphanage to work that worked in his favor. He's very determined to do things, and because there's not a lot of individual help, he figures it out. And if there's no one to help him right away, he'll just keep going until he figures it out.
Wow. He's incredible. Walking, talking, running, just absolutely precious. So I want to remind our listeners, this is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan care ministry, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Joining us today is local single adoptive mom, Rhonda Baker. Rhonda adopted her son Eli in 2016. He was 18 months old at the time, and he is doing fabulous. And so much so that Rhonda, you're doing this again. Tell us why you're adopting a second child and how that came about.
Well, the plan was always for two. I always wanted two children. I believe siblings are important. They were a big part of my life. I'm the youngest of 18 kids. So, I wanted, to have siblings. I wanted them to have that support for each other and to just have that relationship and develop those social skills with each other. But because I'm single, the guidelines state that I cannot adopt two at the same time. So I was required to wait a year, and even then they were updated last year stating that the youngest child had to be at least three before I could adopt again. So, I did want Eli to be the oldest. I wanted him to maintain his place as the first. And so I was looking for a child that was a little bit younger, but maybe not as young as Eli was. it was great. Eli resolved whatever need that was, but I did want him to maintain his position as the oldest. And so that's how we came to search for Josie.
Wow. And that was just sort of, she was the first picture that came up. It was just such a God thing. Tell us about that.
Oh, boy. So I searched on the waiting child list for probably the better part of 18 months before I got Eli. And Eli's profile was actually sent to me because he was so young, he didn't even make it to the list. So they emailed me at about 10 o'clock at night and said I had 24 hours to make up my mind. And, of course, as soon as I saw his face, just knew that he was right for my family. And so once Eli turned three and started preschool, I decided that maybe I should start looking because it took so long before I found Eli. So I went back onto the Rainbow Kids site and I searched under WACAP because they've been so great. I was absolutely going to go through them again. And Josie's picture was the very first one that popped up, and oh my gosh, when I saw her picture, she is the spitting image of Eli.
Yes. So, she looks like Eli in pink pajamas.
Yeah. So as I was staring at this picture, somebody walked by and kind of glanced over my shoulder and then asked me why I was dressing Eli in pink pajamas. So that really just confirmed it. And then when I opened up her file, lo and behold, she has the same diagnosis as Eli.
Wow.
And the same sort of limitations. Eli has a very mild form of arthrogryposis, and so does she. So all of these things just kind of lined up. And then I looked at her age, and she's just a little more than a year younger than Eli, so not an infant, but still younger than him. So it just everything lined perfectly, like it was God's will that, here she is.
Yeah.
And she was with my agency that I wanted to go through. So.
Yeah. Wow. And she has the same rare condition, too. It's not, arthrogryposis is not a very common condition.
No. In the research that I found, it generally alludes to less than 4% of the entire population of the world.
Wow. Incredible.
So it's fairly rare.
Yeah. So confirmation for sure that Josie is your baby girl. So where are you in the adoption process to bring Josie home?
Currently, I have my I-800A, which is the petition to classify Josephine as a relative and make her a citizen upon entering the United States. So we've done those fingerprints, and we're just waiting for that approval to come back. My dossier, which is the next step, is actually already put together. We're just waiting for that approval, and then it all goes to China.
Yeah, so all of the home study and background checks and fingerprinting and all that paperwork mountain is pretty much complete.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So what you're doing now really is focusing on fundraising, because it's really no small feat to pay for an international adoption.
No, and for Eli, because I knew this was coming, and it was probably a year and a half or so before I really even got into the paperwork process with Eli, I had saved probably at least a third or maybe a little bit more in my savings for his process. But for Josie, because it came so quickly, had not really been able to establish a significant savings for her. So we've just been doing a lot of fundraising, bottle drives and candy sales and gift basket drawings. A wonderful friend of mine with a startup business had donated a basket, and we were able to raffle that off. So really just God has just been providing as a lot of the billing comes up, but there's still a big chunk. When I went back and looked at the totals for Eli, it was a little more than half of what I owe on my home in the course of a year and a half. So it is definitely an expensive process.
Yeah. So you've done the work with, the church. Our church has been very supportive. You've been selling candy bars after church, and, and people are saving their bottles to donate to you so you can turn in the deposit and things like that. And you've had some folks actually give you donations straight out, monetary donation. And tell us a little bit real quick about, we're putting together a Both Hands project, and I've had the opportunity on the show before to interview JT Olson from the Both Hands Foundation and some other families who have done Both Hands projects from other states. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing to raise the remainder of the funds.
So this project is absolutely terrific. It is literally a Both Hands project. We found a widow, or two actually in our case, in the local area that needed some assistance, with her home, some projects that needed to be done, a little bit of handyman help, and just some labor in general. And, I've spoken with them and set a project date. And so we're going to go through with her and find out what kind of help she needs, what projects need to be done. And we're going to get a group of volunteers together to help on that day. Those volunteers, plus some extras, are going to get together sponsors to to sponsor them the same way as you would like a marathon, to sponsor them for the day. And so on one hand, the widow gets the assistance she needs, you know, in our case, I think some a little desperately, just some help and support to come in and get those projects done and, you know, just make her feel a little bit better about where she's at and where she's living. And then the sponsor support goes towards the adoption.
So both hands, one for the orphan and one for the widow in true James 127 fashion.
Correct.
Yeah. Awesome. So, and our listeners can follow even the Justice for Orphans Facebook page and my Facebook page to learn more about those projects as they come up in the next few months here locally. So, Rhonda, as a single adoptive parent, what have been your greatest needs?
I would say child care. Just being able to have a minute to get something done because it is just me. And my mom does live with me. She's a little older. So it's a limited support system there. It does help, you know, being able to step outside for a minute and get something done. But having support for somebody when there is a snow day or I just need to go shopping and Eli's not feeling well or, you know, he was very good at first, but at this point he's done with shopping. So for somebody to just take him for a couple hours so I can go and get stuff done like that, I would say that's probably been about the biggest because it is just me. I'm always on.
Yeah. No breaks, no, you know, nobody there to share that responsibility, but you do have an incredible support system within your family and within your church and within your friends in that community.
Yes. Yeah. They have been tremendous. I don't know what I would do without the support system that I have. And, you know, I would recommend if you're thinking about it and you're single and, you know, just pray about it, make sure you have that support system in place because there's something to be said about being able to take a shower regularly.
Yeah. Just those little important things. Yeah. And like we were saying, your church has been really a huge support in your adoptions and in your daily life with the kids. I know we gave you a baby shower before you brought Eli home, and they're supportive with the fundraising for the current adoption. And really, everybody at churches loves Eli, and he's just won their heart. So as we wrap up today, Rhonda, what's on your heart that you want our listeners to really hear and understand?
Without God's calling, the stress of all of this, I don't know if it would have worked if it wasn't really God's calling and just an ear to listen and be willing to accept whatever he said. And, you know, after I adopted Eli and realized how tired a person can actually get, just really prayed and said, you know, is this second child really in your will? And just be open to the answer either way. And, you know, it's been a tremendous blessing to me. I wouldn't change a thing, you know. And then just for people to know that even if it's not on your heart to adopt a child yourself, that there are many, many, many things that you can do to support and still be a part of adoption. Eli is really a child of the church. Everybody, because of all of the support and the investment in helping me fundraise, have really adopted him. So everybody looks out for him in our church family and my friends. They always have their eye on him. They're always looking to make sure he's okay. They're always looking to make sure he's happy and are really invested in his life and making sure that he is everything that he can be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was just through their support. They are, you know, technically adopted family to him.
Yeah, and that's really what the body of Christ is. We're called to do is love one another, be there for one another, and you've experienced that with Eli. The church, you know, your church family has really wrapped around you and Eli, and we can't wait for Josie to come home because she's going to be getting that same, you know, wrap around support as well. But do you think, have you found that's one of the biggest reasons why everything just goes so smoothly? Has that been a huge part of your story, is being able to have that church support?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think in good conscience, without that support system, it wouldn't be a good idea. it would just be too much for one person to do by themselves. You know, the village does make it possible, and you know, I believe that they have all invested, and the continued support is really what's making it possible for these two children, who will be brother and sister and be able to support each other in their special needs and just in growth in general. And they will know that they are loved everywhere they go, because there's this church family that is praying for them and helping me and praying for me. And, you know, I really just couldn't have done it without them.
Yeah. And like you said, not everybody is called to bring children into their home. There's, you know, I do believe if more Christians prayed specifically about that, I do believe that there would be more families, married or single, who are bringing children into their home. But not everybody is called to do that, but we are all called to care for orphans and widows and their distress. So to be able to come alongside a family that is adopting, to be able to wrap around, you know, like your church has wrapped around you and around Eli and Josie, that is a way that believers can walk out James 1:27.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, Rhonda, thank you for sharing your story with us. And I can't wait to hear more about when we know that Josie's coming home, which we're looking at this summer, we think?
Sometime around August or late August, I think. It's not set in stone yet, but looking at Eli's timeline, that's about where we're at.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so much.
So, and if you would like to help Rhonda bring home Josie, you can contact me through the Justice for Orphans website to learn how, including how you can be part of that Both Hands Project in June if you'd like to do that. So thank you for listening to this episode of Orphans Know More today. You can find more shows on our website at justicefororphansny.org and as our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Just search for the show by name, Orphans Know More. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 by adoption, foster care, and wraparound orphan care ministry.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans Know More next Friday.